welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, New Zealand's only full-time reality show. And by reality, I mean we're not in frickin' plain denial of everything that's going on and become utterly obsessed with news stories about a shark attack that hasn't happened since 1976, enough to make it front page news 3 days or 4 days in a row while assets are being sold off. Yeah, I mean, is anybody frickin' home? The news does not report anything that matters. Only the show does. I swear, this country is terrible. Terrible place to get news, unless you're getting it off independent websites from very special people, like my very special guest, Debbie Swanwick from organicnz.org.nz. Debbie, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Vinnie. How are you?
I'm not terribly happy today. Just filled out my census form, and it became abundantly obvious that I'm a slave, kind of thing. You know, it's one of those days.
Yeah. Yeah, understand that totally. Deal with it all the time.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us just a little bit about who you are and what your organisation does?
Okay. Well, Soil and Health Organic NZ is one of the oldest organic organisations in the world. So we were established in 1941. So we've been around for a long period of time. And what we do is we advocate for 100% pure organic food. So that's actually food that's free of GE, pesticides and additives. And, of course, what we're getting in this country is typically food, unless it's certified organic, so it's certified as BioGrow, Demeter, Organic Farm or Assure Quality, food that is contaminated with GE, pesticides and additives. Which is a real shame because New Zealand has a reputation as being 100% clean, green, and that's not the reality unless you're buying organic. So that's
true.
Who we are.
Okay. And how long's it been running for there?
Over 50 years.
I believe I met an elderly woman named Margaret who was like one
Margaret
of the first. Yeah, Margaret yep. Jones. I gave her a lift home.
I actually spoke to her the other day. In fact, I'm sure I mentioned to her at the time if she'd mind me repeating what she said. Margaret has two mandates that she said, she's now 92, that she wants to see happen in New Zealand before she dies, and that is New Zealand becoming 100% organic and vivisection in this country stopping. Last year, there were 35,000 animals that were persecuted by vivisection, and she made a statement of claim at the meeting that I was at that she's determined that she's not going anywhere until both of those things happen. So we definitely appreciate her commitment to the cause.
Yeah, and you also got to really love people like that who have, you know, been around for a long time, the old salts, that kind of thing. You know, they provide, especially if they're still fighters at that age.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, what a testament to organic. She's 92, she's digging out there in the garden, and she's living her dream and promoting her passion. So, and that's what it's all about. You know, all we really have to say to big agritechs like Monsanto is there's the living proof that it's all about food.
Well, I think Monsanto could just hold up one of their rats with a tumour that's about half the size of the rat and say, here's the living proof.
Yeah. But unfortunately, they don't. Unfortunately, they spend quite a bit of money each year on their PR spin. And when the Seralini study actually came out last year out of Ken University that talked about the GE-fed rats, who developed an 80% incidence of cancer in them versus 10 or 15%, which is normal for that particular species, there was certainly a strong reaction from Monsanto on for obvious reasons. You know, Monsanto at the moment is trying to fight GE being labelled in their food because as it stands at the moment, it isn't. And they certainly don't want to see the consumer become more educated as to why we want to keep GE out of our food although the consumer opinion suggests that they pretty much really are. There's like over 90% of American consumers actually want their food labelled. And the Proposition 37, which
Sorry to interrupt you, but I just saw a picture online not 20 minutes before this broadcast of one of those ladies who is delivering a petition and a DVD with 200,000 signatures to the White House about labeling, and this is what the Obamas promised, labeling their food, being arrested.
Yeah, pretty scary stuff, eh? That seems really tragic. That you get arrested for labelling your food. But obviously, you know, that's one of the
arrested for petitioning to label your food.
But, you know, that whole thing, they're trying to shut it down because the biggest market for them is America. So if they can actually shut down, if they can keep the American market going rather, then, you know, that's a huge profit to them. If that market gets shut down, which... it's looking like there's a potential that it's certainly going that way. That Proposition 37 only fell by 3%. If the American market shuts down, then big agritech is going to come screaming after every other country to try and get markets back, which I think is why you've seen a big resurgence in opinion and through the media, especially in the last year, about GE in New Zealand. And... I mean, we know that in Auckland alone, 80% of Aucklanders say they don't want GE. So they're not responding to a consumer demand. They're responding, our policies and politics is responding to a corporate demand. And that process is just undemocratic in itself when they should be representing people.
Debbie, we're having a little bit of problem with your audio. Would you mind clicking your webcam off there? And hopefully that will improve it a little. Sorry about that. This also reminds me of a segment on Radio Live that I was listening to. What was it? Some kind of a study was released saying that organic foods have no more nutritional value than non-organic foods. And this was a study done at a university, which was funded by massive big agrochemical business, genetically modified kind of companies and what have you, funded by them. And incidentally, didn't look into any of the side effects of the pesticides, herbicides, or genetically modified stuff versus organic, only whether or not there was the nutritional content.
Yeah, basically. And I mean, this is what we're seeing consistently. That study that you're talking about was done by Harvard, and Harvard in past years have taken over $500 million from big agritech. So that's what we're actually seeing a lot of is big agritech funding universities. And, of course, that has an impact on what universities are reporting. Them talking about the nutritional value of organic food, there's certainly a lot of research that actually suggests otherwise. And you have to think at the end of the day when big tech is funding so much money into universities, it is impacting on what scientists report, which is a tragedy in itself because we're not getting the facts.
Well, how are people exactly, and this is my problem with government just in general, how are people supposed to get the facts if the corporations don't want to give the facts and the corporations own the government?
Jump on our Facebook page and do your own research as well. You know, that's one of the big issues of our time is that there's some self-responsibility here. It goes without saying that, you know, if you want to believe someone that's actually suggesting that you have a glass of Roundup with breakfast and it's good for you and there's a convincing argument in that and you don't delve any deeper, then... You know, so be it. But at the end of the day, if you want to take responsibility for your own health, then you need to do the research or you need to at least link with some organisations that have done their research and have got the real facts and are impartial in reporting them, because you're certainly not going to be given those facts by someone who's got an ulterior motive, and that ulterior motive is normally the almighty dollar It's not about your health.
What is the point then in having media or government agencies then if you know, like, it's their responsibility to inform people properly, right? Unbiased reporting, perhaps, maybe accurate fact-based legislation, things of that nature, recommendations based on facts and figures. Should we disband the media? Like, I was toying with the idea of maybe banning media in New Zealand. I mean, they're not doing the job anyway. And while we're at it, ban the government too. I was just wondering about the census form. Like, I got the census form here today, and I was just thinking to myself, you know what? They tell us in these ads that it's going to help spend money more accurately. Well, what the hell did they do with the last census since then? You know, we'll look at a little of the massive debt that we're in, the forced amalgamations of Auckland, the sell-off of state assets and all of this other jazz. I don't think the census helped much.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you. You know, the thing is, I mean, coming from that background myself as being a Juno, I totally relate, but I think there's definitely bias in the media. But there are some great Junos out there doing some really good work. One that springs to mind at the moment is Sandra Finney from Straight Furrow, is doing some fantastic investigative journalism. So, you know, whilst a lot of the reporting that's actually coming through isn't too accurate and is certainly biased, there are some people that are making a difference. But, yeah, totally agree with you. I mean, mainstream media just doesn't tell the truth. But then that's why, you know, people like you are in existence, Vinny, so, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
To get the news out there. Yeah.
They might make it illegal.
Yeah, that's right.
Some new hate speech law or something like that. You know how Australians say, instead of saying the word the letter H, they say H? Well, I was thinking of, like, passing a draconian law to get rid of that, an anti-H speech law.
Yeah. Good idea. Mm.
You know, while we're at it. The other element here is, I think this kind of applies directly to the media, is that the people who are reporting things to other people aren't actually smarter. And that's the problem with society. We appeal to authority so much because we assume that because somebody's in a position of trust in a fiduciary level, whether that be a judge or a lawyer or a doctor or a journalist or a government agent or something like that, we assume that they're trustworthy. We assume that they're intelligent. And Ian Wishart, one of the biggest journalists in this country's history, really, you know, second maybe only to Paul Holmes, said that when he was in the media, his conclusion was most of them are just airheads. You know, they don't have any idea what the heck is going on, and they're mostly preoccupied thinking about their Gucci handbags or their next trip to Tahiti.
It might be the case. It definitely might be the case, but hopefully, I mean, you know, I'm certainly seeing, I spend a lot of time talking to Junos and briefing them about what's really going on in the world, and, you know, they're busy people. So I think that has a lot to do with it as well, just not being able to take the time to actually do any investigative journalism. But luckily, some people in this country are, so, and that's what we actually need. If we can get some really good stories out there about what's really going on and what's the truth. And, you know, I think that's where social media comes in too, and that's certainly something that Organic NZ is actually looking at doing, you know, is hitting up 800 million people at one time through YouTube. So, and that's the power of social media. So people are taking back power in that way and also telling their own stories about what they've actually learnt and becoming their own Junos. So, you know, that's always a good thing.
Yeah, I do find that's really important for a free and open society, is for people to basically, I see the job of the media is just two things, really. Keep an eye on the powerful and tell the people about it. And that's really it, because you don't really need to keep an eye on the powerless people who can't affect nothing, you know. And that seems to be what happens, you know. A single person hurts one other person or whatever. What about a single person who devalues a currency by 50% and forces the country into an arbitrary recession?
Yeah.
I mean, let's weigh it up here, yo.
Yeah, I know. So the fairness of the system, is often compromised, isn't it? Or the lack thereof. So, yeah.
We're speaking very generally here, and we're going to be coming up on a break soon. And when we come back, I want to actually really talk about organics in and of itself, and primarily it seems that, well, in my opinion, almost anything that's good that exists in society winds up being under threat at some point, and anything that's evil winds up growing so that it consumes everything in its path. You know, that's just my general rule of thumb for society. So we want to see what's consuming the organic market, as it were. Back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen, with Debbie Swanwick. The website is organicnz.org.nz or organicnz.org.nz for the American listeners. Back in a minute. Welcome back, everybody, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special guest is Debbie Swanwick from the organicnz.org.nz. Welcome back to the program. And if you were to elucidate with detail, as I'm sure you probably know, what are the threats to organic farming at the moment just affecting New Zealand or the world, if you could give it context?
Well, most probably the biggest threat, ironically, is the media, because big agritech companies such as Monsanto and Dow Chemicals, etc., have constantly got journos actually working on stories, or they're planting stories out in the media to discredit organics and to promote genetic engineering especially. So it's really big corporates actually running their own agenda through our food system, and that's disintegrating our food sovereignty when they basically start taking control, and there's a revolving door between them and politics, as we see in America with the FDA and Monsanto especially.
Well, that seems to be very much the case. And is this the case in New Zealand, though? Because I haven't seen any large-scale agribusiness employees become politicians. It doesn't mean that it hasn't happened, though. I'm just not aware of who they might be.
Yeah, no. I think one of the ways it's actually happening in New Zealand is it's being done through our legislation. So some of the things that are on the agenda for New Zealand at the moment is the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement and the food bill, and both of them actually speak within those documents about aligning our food supply with conventions or protocols or policies of our international trading partners. And America being one would suggest that our food supply is under threat, or the sovereignty thereof is under threat, because of some of the policies that are going on in America. So if GE is commonplace there and the accepted norm, then it would suggest that that's actually what is going to happen with our food supply should these legislative regulations actually come into effect. So that's why there's such strong opposition to things like the TPPA and the food bill at the moment. And apart from that, and as an aside, the food bill especially is something that is most probably forecast to increase compliance costs of small food producers, which is, you know, small organic producers or people making food in their home and selling them at markets, etc., like that. So, and that's removing consumer choice, which from our perspective, whether or not you agree with genetic engineering or additives being put on your food or fluoride in your water, it really should actually be about consumer choice. We shouldn't have to be forced to eat GE food or have to consume fluoride because that's our only water source. Mm. And, you know, and that actually boils down to mass medication, which, you know, the Joe public should actually be really concerned about.
Speaking of mass medication, apparently last year about 6,000 people died from the use of registered medicines that were properly prescribed and medical mishaps. Foodborne illnesses killed 6 people. What have we got legislation in order to stop?
Foodborne illnesses?
Oh, my God, it's so dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been that way. You know, our government actually jumps over food safety as an issue. But what we see is, it's like, where is the issue? We don't actually see that issue happening. And one that's come up especially of late is the raw milk issue, which I've been speaking about a bit, because raw milk in this country at the moment can only be sold at the farm gate. Well, raw milk is a natural probiotic, and the government are well aware that farmers' children have increased immunity. And, of course, the one thing that they've got in common is they all drink raw milk. So that's why they've spent $50 million of the taxpayer money producing a genetically engineered cow called Daisy, who doesn't even have a tail, so that they can actually produce allergy-free milk, because that's one of the other advantages of raw milk, is that it's unpasteurised, and that means that kids typically don't have that allergic response, because the pasteurisation process produces histamines in milk, and that's typically why children actually react to it. And, you know, we're saying our dairy practices now are up to speed. We don't need to pasteurise milk, but the fact of the matter is that there is no industry behind raw milk, and that would compromise Fonterra and their market. But, you know, that might be what's best for Fonterra, but that's not necessarily what's best for the consumer. But MPI constantly talk about the safety of raw milk, and it's just ridiculous. You know, it actually begs the question why breast milk isn't pasteurised, to be honest.
Yeah, it is very interesting, isn't it?
Straight out of a cow, you know, you can't get much better than that.
I've always thought of New Zealand as sort of a Fonterra state.
Yeah. Well, you know, Fonterra are going through their own trials and tribulations at the moment, and ironically it's something that we've actually been talking about for quite a period of time, is that the consumer wants a natural, pure product. So, you know, recently Fonterra made an announcement in the media that they'd actually found DCDs in their milk, and as a result the
What are DCDs? Can you play movies on them?
Oh, no. DCDs are actually, they're a, how do you explain DCDs? The fertilisation process that goes on with our dairy cows. We raised the issue about 6 years ago, saying, you know, would these not be traceable in our milk supply? And we're told, without a shadow of a doubt, that they'd never be found in our milk supply. But, you know, they were. So, and Fonterra actually found them in the milk supply last September. They then actually floated their shares on the market without telling the public or New Zealand farmers, who are shareholders, that that had happened. And they've only made it public quite recently as to what actually happened. And when they did, the Chinese market just crashed, because they don't want contaminants in their milk. And no matter how much Fonterra is actually saying it doesn't matter, it's about what matters to the consumer, not what matters to Fonterra, but what matters to the consumer and their perception of it. That's a $10 billion industry that they're holding to ransom by introducing contaminants in the milk supply. And that has an effect on everyone else as well, because that's impacting New Zealand's reputation, and we have a fantastic reputation in organics anyway, for being 100% pure. So we don't want that tarnished by someone who's practicing such things.
Well, I don't know about you, but if anything's being marketed, pretty much guarantee is the exact opposite. So if you say New Zealand's 100% pure, you probably say it's 100% crap.
Yeah.
in a lot of ways.
Unless it's organic.
Yeah.
Well, then you can pretty much rubber stamp it and say, yeah, that's safe. But, you know, our perception of it is it should be the other way around. We've got a pure product. Why are we having to jump through hoops and get certification on it? Why isn't it the other way around? Why don't we start with a pure product? And if you then want to pasteurise it or put additives into it, you get certification.
Here's a good reason. It prevents people being able to compete with major mega agribusiness.
Yeah. Good point. So, and that's it. You know, we shouldn't be putting compliance costs up on people that are doing the right thing or being prejudicial against them just because they're small-scale producers. Small-scale producers are doing some great work out there. But when you're talking about bringing in things like certification or, you know, the food bill to increase compliance costs, then you haven't got a level playing field. You've got an incredible amount of costs going against a small producer that can't afford it, and it will just be pushing some of them out of the market.
This is what happened. This was something interesting. I believe I read a story about this happening in Washington, D.C. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was like interior designers lobbied the government to increase the compliance cost of new licenses for interior design. And as a direct result, it prevented other new interior designers from being able to afford to even enter into the market. And so now it's dominated by a few.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly the same. I mean, it's a good strategy. It's a good strategy for corporates. It's a crap strategy for consumers because it takes away their choice. So whether or not you agree with the argument, you should at least agree with the process, which is it should be on a level playing field, and it's not when they're introducing policies that stand against small-scale producers.
Here's the question.
Or trying to align us with international corporates, for that matter.
Here's the question. Why would one want to level the playing field when it's already tilted towards them?
That's it. So, but you know, this is where consumer has the ultimate power, because consumers actually get to choose. At the moment, we've got GE labelling in this country, so we get to choose whether we want to eat those products. We get to choose whether or not we believe that GE foods will actually cause cancer and fertility problems, as well as 20 other 9 diseases that have actually been proven. So, and if you
vote, it has nothing to do with belief, and if that's the regard, because it's fact they cause cancer.
Yeah. So, and why would you actually want to do that? You know, why would you want to choose that as an option? But it is about being educated and just being a bit prudent about who you're actually listening to. Because if you're listening to a big corporate, they've got an agenda that they're running. We've got an agenda that we're running as well, but our agenda is the consumer. We want the best food for the consumer, and we want their right to choose. So we're not advocating that they're not able to buy GE food. We're just saying if GE food is the only option, you will no longer have the right to buy organic food, because as soon as we get GE crops in this country, for example, they'll contaminate organic and conventional crops, so you'll no longer have any choice. And Australia is actually going through this at the moment. There's a big case in front of the Western Australian Supreme Court where an organic farmer, because there is GE contamination now in Australia, has just sued a conventional farmer because he's contaminated his crops and he's lost his organic certification. You know, so as it stands, I think New Zealand, because we've actually kept away from the GE issue for the most part, and we've been quite staunch about that, we've actually been blessed in that we've been able to gain from the experience of other countries throughout the world and how they've actually been impacted by GE or contamination in their food supply. But the race is on now. I mean, Bhutan actually has been talking for quite a few years that They think that they're going to be the first country in the world to be 100% organic. And Bhutan is actually strategically placed, you know, between India and China. So they've got major trading partners that they can cater to and consumers that are actually wanting that. What we see as a real tragedy is that should be New Zealand's claim to fame. You know, New Zealand's always done everything first. We gave women the vote. Some people might not agree with that, but we did. gave women the vote. We declared ourselves nuclear free. And we should be the first country in the world to be 100% organic, because that is how other people see us. And it's a real shame that some people in this country don't see us that way, because we should really be stepping up to the plate and taking that competitive advantage in our major markets, because that's what they're telling us they want.
See, small economies are, have to be sort of like either cottage industry or high-tech economies in order to really flourish and survive, don't they? You know, yeah. if you've got a massive population base, your economy can be quite varied and doesn't necessarily have to specialize, because you've got a massive quantity of land, people, things like this, in order to contribute, trade, etc. If you've got a very small amount of people and a very small country, limited land area, limited population, things like that, you become relied on for specialities. Okay, take Taiwan for example. Not a very big country at all, but boy, oh boy, do their people get paid a hell of a lot of money, because they make really advanced technology there. Same with Japan, you know, and they invest in their own infrastructure and all of this kind of stuff, just like, you know, Slovenia, Croatia, Malaysia, things like that. Their economy is booming. We don't do that, on the other hand.
No, yeah, but we could. And this is a perfect opportunity for us to do exactly that. And because we are so far removed from the rest of the world, we can essentially say, okay, well, you know, GE contamination, one of the issues around that is that it's pollen, you know, so it doesn't accept any boundaries. But because we're remote, we can take advantage of the fact that it doesn't actually matter.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Absolutely. The problem is, you know, the incredibly expensive lawyers' fees that you'll have to kind of undergo if you want to argue with these big corporate scumbags and their whole teams of scumbags that they have. Maybe you can make a massive loan off of GE money. We'll be right back after the break with Debbie Swanwick.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know the way it's going to go. 'Cause we can't see the way it's going to be.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, New Zealand's number one conspiracy-oriented talk radio. And let me define conspiracy. Two or more people coming together to cause harm on another group of people without that group of people knowing about it. Anybody heard of a genetically modified organism? GMO. In New Zealand, we call it GE. GMO, I always mistook for the modus operandi of a gangster, which incidentally is not too different. My very special guest is Debbie Swanwick. Welcome back to the program. We've only got one segment left. I wonder what we will talk about now.
Well, how about we talk about the organics Aotearoa New Zealand, which is actually our export sector of organics that actually launched at Parliament today, relaunched at Parliament. So, and they've just recently come out with a report that they've been conducting over the past 5+ years, talking about in the past 5 years the 300 to 400% increase in community, school and marae gardens and home gardening. So people are obviously taking up the cause and grabbing a spade and getting back into their gardens, and that's really good to see, because that's empowering and people taking control of what they're actually eating. But we've had huge growth in the organics market in the past 3 years as well. We've had a 25% increase in our produce sector. We've had a 33% increase in our organic dairy. And we've had an amazing 70% increase in our beverages market. So, you know, which is really ironic considering we're going through a global financial crisis. Everyone else is going down and we're going the other way. So,
well, the Chinese character for crisis is the same as the Chinese character for opportunity.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely cashing in on it. So that's good to see.
Well, see, and here's the irony. In fact, look, the world's run by scumbags. Anybody who doesn't know that by now is fucking retarded. It's just that simple. So it's like basically if you have a look at any sector of society, you know, organics or whatever, you see things that just don't make sense unless you're a criminal sociopathic scumbag. Then it makes total sense.
That's the one, yeah. Yeah, and we're dealing with quite a few of those in our in the food game because, you know, if whoever controls the food controls the world at the end of the day, and this is a great, food's a great opportunity for big pharma and big agritech to come together as well, which is something that's being talked about, you know, mass medication through food, and we're already seeing it with fluoride in the water supply. Last year, we just about saw it with folic acid being introduced into bread, but the Food Safety Minister, Kate Wilkinson, actually put her foot down and said there's some disagreements over the science about whether we should put folic acid in bread, and she decided to vote for the consumer and keep it out. So it's really good to see that our government's actually listening to what the consumer wants, and that is that the consumer wants choice, and that's what we advocate for all the time. So whether or not you agree with GE or additives or pesticides and whether or not you want them in your food, at least give people who don't want them in the food that option. Yeah.
Well, we're never given that option with fluoride in the water. I've lamented just how difficult it is to avoid fluoride when it's in everything. I mean, even organic food is sometimes grown with fluoridated water being used to water it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I thought was really interesting the other week is I was actually looking at some demographics about who makes the most money in this country because, you know, one of the arguments against fluoride is that it dumbs down the population, and the population per capita that's making the most money in this country is rural New Zealand. And, of course, they don't have fluoride in their water. So... Which begs the question, you know, are they smarter and as a result making more money? So
Maybe it's all the fresh air.
Yeah, that's right. Fresh air.
And fresh food.
Raw water, fresh food, yeah, and raw milk. So so there you go. There's obviously, apart from the health benefits, there just might be some monetary benefits to it as well. So, but yeah, we certainly don't believe that people should have to eat what corporate America spits out because it's definitely making them sick. Over 60% of American food today is processed. So 3 out of 4 of those processed items actually contain GE, and America's got one of the sickest societies in the world. So, and there's definitely a push in the States anti-GMO diets as well, with doctors even recommending that. So, and, you know, we, unfortunately, organics in New Zealand is quite often the organisation at the bottom of a cliff when people actually start having health issues. They come to organics and start getting their diet sorted out. But everyone knows the answer to the world's biggest issue about what is making us sick, and the answer's food. So we need to sort our food out and get healthier food, and that's our biggest remit, is to advocate on behalf of the consumer to ensure that that happens by keeping everything out of our food supply that's actually not meant to be in it. So you might have some government department professing that it's all right to put the 18 additives, for example, that are in our food that are not overseas, but, you know, is Mother Nature in agreement? because we suggest that when you have a sick society, Mother Nature isn't. And Mother Nature's our CEO, and she knows better than any politician or any corporate advocating something that's ultimately pushing their own bottom line forward. It's not about people's health.
I think a 9-year-old kid with common sense knows more about health than the average politician.
Yeah. So hopefully those 9-year-old kids, and what we're actually saying is that children especially are really getting back into the garden, because people have lost that art. You know, they don't know what's grown anymore and what season or how to grow it. And one of our mandates is actually encouraging people to do that. And kids are definitely there. Kids know all about it and they know what's going on. So hopefully the next generation actually makes a strong stand against domination of our food supply, and we actually manage to turn this whole thing around, because it really should be the people's voice and what they want, not corporate America.
Yeah, and I think under the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which the Americans are key to sign, and by the Americans, I mean America with a K. The fascist USSA Soviet Socialist drone strike republic. Mm. And yeah. This is what they want to do to yeah. everything, you know. And the same people that are in control of America are the same people that are in control here, and the same people who are really in control everywhere. Except the EU, for some reason, they've outlawed GMO foods, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
They've also outlawed fluoride.
Yeah, totally. So don't know what is actually going on in Europe that they've done that, but good on them, because that's exactly the way it should be.
Maybe it's because it's where all the European royalty live.
Well, yeah, funny you should mention that, because, we always profess that organics are actually the food of kings. So, and even, you know, like the debate going on here at the moment over raw milk and whether or not we should actually get that into supermarkets, and so that, you know, people that live in cities have access to it. The Queen Mother was actually smuggling raw milk into Prince William and Harry when they were at Eton. So, you know, that speaks volumes about the safety of raw milk.
You've got to love that diplomatic immunity card.
Yeah. So she knows what's going on, and Prince Charles, being one of the greatest advocates for organics, actually says it all as well.
And so, ironically, he's also one of the biggest advocates for eugenics.
Yeah.
I advocate organics for myself, eugenics for everybody else.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, he hasn't ticked all the boxes, but whilst he's actually touting organics, you know, we'll definitely have to say that's good in part anyway.
Yeah, let's hope he doesn't return as a deadly virus to contribute something to overpopulation, as he said he wished to.
Yeah.
You know, so, it's a scary, scary world. You don't know anything about chemtrails or nothing like that? Because I don't know if you want to sully your hands with the conspiracy side of things.
No, I don't know too much about that, actually. I know a little bit about chemtrails, but not as much as I do about organics and our food supply.
Well, what's interesting is the chemtrails have been tied in, you know, allegedly spraying a lot of aluminium over the soils, which makes them too acidic for plants to grow. And Monsanto's come up with this new crop that is aluminium resistant.
Fantastic. Gosh, you just got to hand it to those guys, eh? Yeah, I mean, Monsanto's definitely increasing their enemy base, let's say. So one of the things that happened last year is their BT crop failed and put...
Well, hold on, Debbie, we can't hear quite what you're saying. AFAR, can you bring the feed down a little bit? Let Debbie finish her point. There we go. Go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the things that happened last year is the American BT corn crop failed and put over 70% of American corn at risk. And, you know, that's one of our biggest issues around GE, is that whether or not you agree with the science, it takes away any other possible opportunity for conventional organic crops to grow, because they actually contaminate. So should something actually go wrong, which is what is happening with super bugs and super weeds, etc., it leads us towards an agricultural dead end. And considering, you know, the percentage of our food that's pollinated...